Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
CNBC, that a story came out by a good guy we know, a good reporter too, Jabari Young. And he wrote a story that said many owners and executives and agents, mainly owners and agents, but some executives, they're calling the league saying, don't play, let's not play the season. And they just don't think it's worth it to go ahead and have the NBA season. And I will say this, and I've been in touch with several executives and agents today, and just from even just over the past few weeks talking to people, you know, around the league, this story surprised me because everything I'm hearing is that they want to desperately finish the season, the league and the executives and all that and the owners. And that's what people were telling me today too. They still feel the same way. Some feel like, look, this may be, you know, these are owners from losing teams or executives from teams that are definitely out of the playoffs. And I get that. I mean, do we want to go to Orlando to play five games? You know, we got to get a whole staff together, risk potentially getting them sick to play five, seven games, whatever. Or even if maybe even some of the lower rung playoff teams who know, okay, look, we go there, we're going to play the Clippers in the first round. So I'm getting all this together for a few weeks. It's not worth it. So maybe it's coming from some of those types. But I've been hearing that the league and the owners do want to finish this season. But regardless, this story came out, and LeBron James responded to it strongly. LeBron, in a tweet, just completely denounced it. And here's what the tweet said. Saw some reports about executives and agents wanting to cancel the season. That's absolutely not true. Nobody I know saying anything like that. As soon as it's safe, we would like to finish our season. I'm ready and our team is ready. Nobody should be canceling anything. So that's LeBron's response. And that's what I'm sure. He hadn't told me this, but I'll bet some wings on it that Rob Parker jumped for joy when he saw this response.
Well, because it's LeBron exposing it. He knows he's desperate. LeBron knows that the season that the Lakers have, he can't bank on it. He's not sure what's going to happen next year. You know, when you lose it, Chris, it just happens. And you're not as good, not as quick, not your shots aren't falling. Whatever it is, when Father Time catches up to you. So I get why he's panicking. He knows this is probably his only chance to win a championship. He doesn't know what the future holds. He doesn't know what's going to happen, who's coming back, what's happened, if somebody will get hurt next year, whatever it might be. He might get hurt next year. You know what I mean? As you get older. So right. I understand why he's the one who jumped out there because not that it's a guarantee he's going to win, but he feels like if he ever had a chance, it would be right now, and that is why LeBron wants the season to go on. I get that. Because the chances of him winning past this year aren't good just based on age, just based on other things, other teams, Clippers being healthy, younger, Chris, you know, like if the Clippers are all healthy next year and all together, will the Lakers jump out and be as good as they were this year? There's all kinds of stuff going on. Next year, the Warriors will be healthy. Those two stars up there will be healthy. You look at other teams. So, yes, I get it. This is LeBron hoping, wishing, praying that they can resume the season so that he can have a chance to win again. Because desperately, he knows that legacy without a championship in Los Angeles will take a hit. It ain't going to change whether people think he's a great player. But the legacy will take a hit if he comes to L.A. and winds up getting shut out in 4 years without winning a championship.
Well, Here's the thing. I don't think it's just LeBron, though. I don't think LeBron is the only player dying to finish the season. Number one, I think all the players with a who you know, because look, we look at Utah, Denver, Portland, you know, who's just barely hoping to make the playoffs, Oklahoma City. We look at them and we say, they got no chance. But the players, all the players on those teams don't feel that way. You know how it is, right? They think, hey, particularly now with who knows, there's been things have been thrown off. Maybe we can pull an upset. Maybe it's only a 3 or 5 game series. So now here's our chance. So I think virtually all the playoff team players, Rob, want to get back and play. And I definitely think the contenders. I bet you if Kawhi Leonard was talkative, if he were on social media, he would be saying the same thing as LeBron. I bet privately he is saying and feeling the same way as LeBron. Not desperate, but just, I want to play. Like,
would you say LeBron is desperate, Chris, that this is...
I don't think desperate.
No? Think that this year is a goal is one of his best opportunities to try to win a championship? I'm just saying, without knowing what the future holds.
It is one of his best and perhaps the best chance he has left. However, knowing LeBron, I don't think that he is looking at next season like, man, I could fall off. You don't think that. I understand that. He might fall off, but I don't think he thinks that's a chance.
But I think if the season doesn't go, it hurts him more than anybody else. The other guys in contention are younger. That's all I'm saying.
I agree with that. But I'm just saying.
That's all I'm saying is that they're younger. They got more years to play. LeBron's, right. Here's his championship logical clock ticking. And it's there. And he knows it. It's getting louder and louder every day. There's no game.
But you
here's
make
the other
it
part.
Seem like he's scared, frightened. Oh, my gosh, last year. I don't see that. We even had guests, Rob, who were saying they think this little hiatus is going to help LeBron.
See, I disagree
it gives him a
with
rest.
That. I think it's harder to start up when you're older and you've been playing well and then compared to letting younger guys who are not healthy get better.
They're possibly.
That's just me.
I mean, the layoff he had last summer helped him. He came back and had he wasn't going to win the MVP, but he was going to be second. So he had a great year. And who's to say with this, I mean, this could be a real serious rest, that he doesn't come back. And so I'm just saying we have to see, because you're right. It comes surprisingly. We don't know when it'll hit a guy.
Right.
But
I'm just saying it's not about LeBron. It's about older players, right?
We're
not saying
I don't think he's thinking that way, though.
Yeah,
but I agree in general with you. Like, I do think it hurts him more than anybody because, he's 35. He's in his 17th year. And you're not going to get better. At least, that's not logical. So you're right in that the team was playing great. It seems like a great opportunity for him to win it. And you don't know what the future holds. So I'm in agreement with you there. I just don't think it's as desperate. LeBron's as desperate as you're making it seem.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The New England Patriots, Rob, a lot of people think now that Andy Dalton's been released by the Bengals that he's New England bound. He might be. I think they're going to go with Jarrett Stidham. I really do. But I think I would like to see them, number one, go for Cam Newton. But I would like to see them get Dalton if they don't get Cam because, they could be a decent team. And, part of the storyline for next year will be, can Belichick do it without Brady? And giving him an Andy Dalton, who is a good quarterback, not great, but good, that would give him a legitimate chance to have a good season in New England. But here's my question to you, Rob. If, let's just say for argument's sake, that the Patriots do sign Andy Dalton, which team ends up with the better record next year? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who gonna be nice, or the New England Patriots?
I think they're both going to be around 500, 8-8. I'm being honest. Oh, that's my pick. So, So I think that it will be a better year for the Patriots when you consider what had left compared to Tampa Bay, who was adding Tom Brady. So I think, I really do. I believe both could be 8-8. And here's the other part that I don't think people always factor in with Andy Dalton. And I'm not trying to make him some star or he's the next best thing and anything like that. But Chris, during that time up there with Marvin Lewis, they used to win. Right. They couldn't win a playoff game.
Right.
But go look. Marvin Lewis went to the play, was 0-7. Up there, you know what I'm
right? Seven, only you know seven what I'm in saying? The playoffs, so he made it 7 years. Yeah,
they made it seven
out of 8 years, I think,
something like that. Like so, So Andy Dalton was playing enough football, good football, to get you in the playoffs. Could he win a playoff game? No, and that's why I think when people look at Andy Dalton, they don't really think about that. They don't think about
your point. To your point, Rob. Remember before the draft, it was several months ago now. But Carson Palmer came out and supposedly was telling, you know, he was ripping the Bengals. And I don't know if this was him saying it or people
reporting that
he was saying it. Yeah. And they don't want to win. They're not committed to winning. Carson wasn't. Now, he won earlier in his career there. But eventually he was losing. But then once they got rid of him and went to Dalton, they started making the playoffs every
year. And Marvin
year.
Lewis, they did. Right. You remember Marvin Lewis was coached there for how long? 15 years? Something
and
like that.
And he coached Carson. And my thing at that time was, man, Carson Palmer's got to take a little bit of responsibility. Because once they replaced you with Dalton, they started making the playoffs immediately. So
they just didn't win in the playoffs. Right. But right. I don't think Andy Dalton is a horrible quarterback. You know what I mean?
Not at all.
If they were able to get him, that would be a coup. I think the AFC East is going to be better. So that's why, Chris, I can't go, they're going to win 10 games or 12 games and they're not going to miss a beat. I think the AFC least, as we've called it over the years, will be better with Buffalo, will be better with the Jets. I really do. I think it's going to be a very competitive division, and that's why I got the Patriots at 8-8 not making the playoffs.
You're wrong, though, about the other team. Come on. I know. You got this little thing going. You're a fan favorite on WEEI.
What?
You know, they love you up there. You're so into being Patriot hater number one, you know, public enemy number one up in Boston. I beat out Max Kellerman. I beat out Nick Wright. I get it, Rob. I get it. It's your shtick.
It ain't a stick.
But
I was right about the Patriots. I said they wouldn't get
you
out of the first round of the playoffs.
8 years ago that Tom Brady would never win another Super Bowl. He went to 4-1-3. Stop it. You said you'd move to Mexico if he won the Super Bowl that year, and he won it, and you ain't in Mexico. When you going,
I think I'm moving to Mexico.
I did. I went for a weekend to Cozumel. I was down in Mexico.
Anyway, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Rob, are going to be nice because you said they added Tom Brady. They didn't add just Tom Brady. That's the thing. They also added Rob Gronkowski, who's still relatively young, 30 years old, and coming off a year where he could rest. And even without him, they got Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, the two other tight ends, O.J. Howard, Cameron Brate. Man, they're going to be running that 12 personnel package with the two tight ends, the two receivers. They're going to be good. Defensively, they're improving. They drafted a guy that some people thought was the best offensive tackle in the draft, Tristan Wirfs from Iowa. I'm telling you, they are definitely making the playoffs, and they might even make some noise all the way to Tampa when they get there. I'm not predicting Super Bowl yet. I'm just saying they're going to be in the mix. So Chris, it is no question who's going to have the better season next year. Andy Dalton or not in New England, It is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
You were so worked up and excited last year about the Browns.
I'm not going to bring up your Chargers who won five games after you predicted the Browns are irrelevant.
You picked the Dallas Cowboys to get to the Super Bowl. They didn't even make the playoffs.
They won more games than the Chargers.
It don't matter. Neither one made the playoffs. You were wrong.
8-8 is better than 5-11.
Neither one made the playoffs, so it doesn't matter.
In the same sentence as
my
Tom
point
Brady.
Only
it.
Is that unless you always overreact. You are the overreact king. The prisoner of the moment king.
Stop.
That's who you are,
please.
Chris.
Please.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Cleveland. Oh, I'm from Cleveland. You weren't even born there.
Cleveland!
Oh, I'm from Cleveland. Oh, I can't wait. Oh, my. This is going to be great. They're going to win the division. You're going to fall for this, too, with Tom Brady. And then, Rob G., I want you to mark the tape because Chris is going to say, what do you expect? He's 43 years old. You can't expect him in his first year to go to Tampa Bay. You know New Orleans is good and Atlanta bounced back. You can't expect him to make the playoffs his first year. Oh, Tom Brady got hurt. You can't count it. No, he got hurt, so that this season doesn't matter.
Of course, it doesn't count. If he gets hurt.
That's what you'll say.
But that's what happens
when you get a 43-year-old quarterback. The chance of him getting hurt is big, and I'm just telling you, they're not going to make the playoffs, and all the NFL experts will have egg on their face again.
Making the playoffs. You got so much egg on your face, I'm surprised you can see your keyboard. My goodness, I'm a prisoner of the moment. Stop it. Jacksonville's the best team in the league.
The Chargers are the best team in the league. Jacksonville had the Patriots down by 10 in the fourth quarter.
Jacksonville was 2-6 and atop the Parker Power Ranking. Stop it. Stop it right now. Again, I'm not going to ruin your shtick. Okay, it's fine. I know you get paid a little bit to go on WEEI or something. I get it. I'm not trying to take money out of your pocket.
Why are you ripping our listeners in Jacksonville? Our show's big down there.
They know I'm right. They know I'm right. I'm telling you, Rob, there is no question. You are so – I can't believe you won't – now, here's the thing, though. You're going to sit here and try to mock me. Let's say Brady does fall off. Let's say he struggles next year. Well, I mean, it is what it is, Rob. He has a built-in excuse, and therefore, so do I. He's 43.
We're not accepting your built-in excuse. We're not.
If he falls
because you
off,
have all this confidence
it's
in him.
It's father time. No, it's not. It won't be, excuse me from the wing bet, but it's
That's just a reality.
There's a difference between an excuse and an explanation.
Can we what is our wing bet, 10 or 20?
I think we upped it to 20.
Yeah, we did. So we're 20 in a drink.
I don't need to know. You're the only one that needs to know.
No, I don't need to know.
Just make sure you keep track of how much it
all
is.
All I got to do is ask my man Alex. When it comes to wing bets, Alex,
who is the wing bet king, Alex?
There's one thing,
you know, we were always talking about, Rob, that they say there's always two things you can count on in life. That's death and taxes, but when it comes to Rob Parker, it's also losing wing bets.
It doesn't happen, Chris. You know it.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. Are you ready?
Hope you can take the heat like LeBron.
We're going big.
It's go time.
It's Broussard's Fab Five.
All right, I am sick and tired of Rob G, the mad millennial, and the rest of these millennials watching The Last Dance and then poo-pooing Michael Jordan. Oh, he was playing against 6'2 Joe Dumars. He was playing against accountants and CPAs. You know, Craig Elo and all that. Of course he was killing.
So that led me
to put together my list of the top five shooting guards other than Michael Jordan during the Michael Jordan era. But not only that, I'm going to compare the top five shooting guards of Jordan's era to the top five shooting guards today. And you'll see there's very little difference. So if Jordan killed these dudes in his day, he would kill these dudes today.
Number five.
Chris Mullin, who happens to be a Hall of Famer, who happens to have been 6'6" tall, a dream teamer, one of the best players the Big East has ever had, a guy that averaged 25 points plus per game for five straight years, and only took 2 3-point shots a game during that run. He'd be killing in this era. Number five among today's two guards, Bradley Beal, who first of all is only 6'3". So don't tell me Jordan was playing against undersized guys. Bradley Beal's a 6'3 shooting guard today. Having a nice season, but is he going to end up in the Hall of Fame like Chris Mullin? I don't think so.
Number four.
In Jordan's era, Joe Dumars, another Hall of Famer. What do you know? Two-time champion, one of the greatest two-guard defensive players we've ever seen, a finals MVP. I'm sorry, he was 6'3". Yeah, he was 6'3", so not even as short as Rob G says, and a 38% shooter from three-point range. Today, the fourth best shooting guard in the league, Donovan Mitchell, who's 6'1". He's shorter than Joe Dumars. He would have been assigned to guard Michael Jordan today. You know what Jordan would have done to him? 60!
Number three.
In Jordan's day, Mitch Richmond, another Hall of Famer. 10 straight years, he averaged 22 plus points per game, 6'5" tall. Today, the third best shooting guard in the league, Jimmy Butler, 6'7". And Butler is tough. Butler's a great player. Nothing negative to say about his game. He's nice.
Number two.
Reggie Miller, a fourth Hall of Famer that played against Jordan in his era. And 6'7" tall. What do you know? 1 inch taller than Michael Jordan. One of the greatest clutch players ever. One of the greatest shooters ever. Didn't even shoot a lot of threes compared to what dudes do today. Can you imagine him playing today? Number two in today's game at the two guard, Klay Thompson. Very much like Reggie Miller. I think they're almost mirror images of each other. Klay 6'6", an inch shorter than Reggie, but very much like Reggie Miller. And the first player on the today's list that I can say is definitely going to be a Hall of Famer. We'll see about Jimmy Butler and Donovan Mitchell, but Klay will definitely be a Hall of Famer. And
number one,
Clyde the Glide Drexler, another Hall of Famer, a top 50 of all time player, 6'7" tall, not only won a championship with Houston, but led a Portland Trailblazers team when it was his team. He was the only superstar. Led him to the NBA Finals. And guess who was playing in the West at that time when Clyde got to the Finals? Magic Johnson, James Worthy, and Byron Scott on the Lakers. They went out in the second round. Today, the best shooting guard in the league, James Harden, 6'6". No defense, not as good a defense as Clyde, but a phenomenal offensive player. So, look, if I had to give advantages, I'd give it to Chris Mullin over Beal, Joe Dumars over Donovan Mitchell, Jimmy Butler over Mitch Richmond, Klay Thompson I give over Reggie Miller, but that's close, very close. And you could call Drexler Harden a tie, but I don't mind if you give the slight edge to Harden. But that's how close it is. So don't tell me Jordan wouldn't demolish these two guards just like he did the ones in his day. I silenced the mad.
That was
millennial.
Embarrassing, Chris Broussard.
Really?
You took
really?
Some liberties with these guys. Chris Mullin, 13 of his 16 years, played a small forward, not a shooting guard.
No. He played shooting guard.
No, look at basketballreference.com.
Joe Dumars. Does it say shooting guard on there?
It says small forward.
Shooting guard and small forward.
No, it says small forward. Joe Dumars is Steph Curry size. I like Joe, friend of the show.
He's little.
He's 6'3", 190. He's tiny. Mitch Richmond is a Laker, so I don't say anything bad
about
him.
Donovan Mitchell's not small.
Donovan Mitchell's
Bradley
playing point
Beal's
guard now.
Small.
Donovan Mitchell's playing point guard now.
They got Mike Ricky Rubio.
Mike Conley's on the bench. Number two, Reggie Miller is 185 pounds in the program, which means he's 175 in real life. And Clyde Drexler is the JV Jordan. Stop it.
Oh, Clay's
stop it.
Clay's muscular?
Klay Thompson's 215.
That's all you got?
You're killing me.
That's all you got? I silenced you badly.